I think that's okay, though.
Yeah.
If you don't agree with 100% what everyone's going to talk about. I mean, we're all human, right?
Yep.
So welcome back to another great episode of Mint Money, where we talk about all things personal finance in the great state of Michigan. Kevin, how you doing?
Good morning. Doing excellent.
Good, good. Yep. Full night's sleep?
Yeah, feeling very relaxed. Me and the family went to Jamaica.
Wow, okay.
Just a couple of, got back a little over a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And my big takeaway from Jamaica was that there are no problems. There are only situations, man.
Okay.
So yeah, so I'm trying to, you know, keep that mantra as I go forward, right? Mm-hmm. No more problems, just situations.
Are they in a different time zone, out of curiosity?
So yeah, I'm glad you asked that question because I was confused kind of the whole time I was there because some of our phones had updated and some hadn't. They're in the same time zone, but they do not have daylight savings.
Oh, okay.
So they were an hour, I don't recall if it was an hour behind or an hour forward, but... So yeah, same time zone, no daylight saving. So in that case, we were an hour, it was an hour difference between Michigan and Jamaica.
Well, it's not too bad. I'm not trying to go back and forth to Hawaii. I think that's like a 6 hour difference, I want to say. Maybe seven, six?
Yeah, I've never been. Europe, similar. I know when we went to Paris, 6 hours. And yeah, that can be intense.
That's just real. A full day to go recover
before
you get back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
Back to society almost at that point.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it ties very much into what's been going on, at least locally here, has been all about the solar eclipse.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, big news.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, at least breaking news, I think, in the U.S. at least. I'm not sure if this is more regionalized, but there won't be another solar eclipse here until 2044.
Yeah, I know. That's that's wild to think of. And I tell you, the thing that I took away was that next time, I'm gonna try to get closer to the path.
Me too. Right? I don't think I paid enough attention in science class.
No, me too. I feel the same way. I felt very uninterested in it. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, okay, big deal. But then when it was going on yesterday, I thought to myself, man, I'd much. I figured 94% was
exactly,
gonna be really
good. Exactly. Yeah, or 95%.
Yeah. But it wasn't. I mean, it was still pretty cool, right? Mm-hmm. But not nearly as cool as I think if you had 100%.
Yeah, yeah, because I noticed, obviously, it got a little colder outside, of course, and then it's like someone almost dimmed the lights down outside, but it wasn't that full immersion.
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't the full, complete immersion, which I saw countless pictures from Ohio across that whole belt. There was a really cool chart I saw that week that showed Airbnb rentals.
Oh, yeah.
And you could see, it was like almost, I mean, as you can imagine, a parallel overlay between where that path was going to be and then where people were booking stays,
too. You know what I thought was interesting was there was a few blips off the path. I think you shared that chart.
Oh, okay.
And I'm assuming that there was larger metropolitan areas or something.
Yeah. Like I saw Indianapolis, a very large city, obviously in that path too, I believe in that path. Hundreds of thousands of people were just descending upon the city.
Yeah.
And especially as cities along the path too, because very much a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, hopefully it's not once-in-a-lifetime. I better get a chance. That 20 years
for 20
from now,
years,
I hope to still be around.
Yeah, I think it's going to prompt me to go wherever that overlay might be.
Oh, yeah.
If it's not too far away.
I feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tell you, something I find really funny. So you had glasses, right?
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever accidentally sort of slip and look without the glasses on?
No, didn't happen to you?
Yeah, it happened to me. And then I went to the elementary school to pick up my daughter because her and her class were doing it. And so afterwards, when I'm talking to her, I'm like, Gigi, did you accidentally look directly at it? And she was like, no. And I'm like, are you sure? And I said, because I did on accident. She's like, yeah, I did too. And then sort of jokingly, a lot of people that I've talked to, like maybe like the one time for me, I had the glasses on and one of my boys was with me and he wanted them. He pulled them off me without telling me. And then I'm staring directly into the sun. I'm like, dude, you got to be
careful.
He's
going to blind you.
Yeah. Right. So, yep. And I saw some really funny clips of like, well, because you think about it, right? You get these glasses. They cost, $2 or $3, and you probably bought them at Speedway.
You know, that brings up a really good point. I saw some things online. Now, this really ties into the topic loosely what we're talking about today, but I don't know if it's true, but some weren't even, like, some were being recalled.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Is that true? Is that false? Is it false news?
I just saw some funny clips of like people like, oh, here's what happens if your glasses were faulty. And then it was like, you know, showing a screen with like a big dot in the middle of it as if that affected. I think it was a joke, but.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's really not a joking. We're putting a lot of faith in like a pair of $2 or $3 solar eclipse glasses.
I feel bad saying this, but like how much research would someone really go look into for doing something like this, right? Because I think that we're outside at least the Midland office or some people in the Midland office were outside for maybe 2 or 3 minutes. And so like we're all passing around 2 or 3 of these, of the light, not the light, sorry, but 2 or 3 of the sunglasses to go take a look at it. So I mean, how much research are you going to go put into it?
Yeah.
Are you going to save those for 20 years? Probably not.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, next time around in 20 years, 2044, we should invest in some solar eclipse glasses.
No.
And particularly market and make sure they're safe and then market around that safety, sell them for.
Hey, absolutely.
And we can be like solar eclipse influencers, right? So on whatever new.
As long as we're not influencing the wrong in the wrong types of ways.
Right.
Yep. Which, as you guys can guess, really dives into today's topic, which is all about financial influencers, but why some people might need to go take a glass half full approach with it. And what I mean by that is people talking. Especially with anything on the internet, people can go talk about whether they're experts or not experts within this. And so for all we know, just as what we were just talking about, we have a good idea what may or may not be safe. But unless you're experts within that particular field, it's hard to go get that secondhand approach and that secondhand knowledge that someone might need. Because with today's media, it's very easy for anyone.
Oh, yeah.
Of any degree in certainty and of any education level for people to go spout out what they're thinking about. Yeah. I have heard so many clips. I heard one particularly bad clip, which I know that our director of employee benefits would hate seeing, but it's all about do not invest any money in your 401k. Instead, put it 100% in real estate.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, as long as you're charismatic, right, and you can get a following, that's the scary thing, right? You can pretty much say whatever you like. And so I think, like, my theme for when it comes to financial influencers, really when it comes to any influencer, really when it comes to advertising just across the board, right, is if they're good at creating fear, right? So that's what's going to sell us. We have this fear of like this FOMO, right? Fear of missing out or just this fear of like, okay, if I don't look this certain way, right? Or if I don't dress a certain way or if I don't follow certain topics or if I'm not educated on certain things, then I'm a failure, right? Yeah. And everybody's going to look at me funny. And that's what really they're trying to sell, right? They're trying to get clicks.
And they're very good at it too. I mean, they whether they mean to deceive people or not, they're nefarious about it or not, but that's actively what they're trying to do. It's exactly like spam mail. They're trying to go create that reaction out of you.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, and just like the scammers in email, right? Where they're like, oh, you have a UPS package that, I mean, I'm not sure if you've received those recently.
Plenty.
But whether it's through text messages or an email that says, oh, you got to click here. There's a UPS or FedEx package that is waiting for you. And they look pretty legit.
Yeah, it's getting, days. I mean, before you could easily tell, okay, I really don't have anything else like that, but I think I might have an Amazon package like show up once or twice a month.
Sure. Yeah, and sometimes you're like, wait a minute, what did I?
What did I order?
Yeah, you're always ordering something. So you figure, oh yeah, there probably is something that I ordered and maybe it's not gonna make it to me.
All it takes is one time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I think what makes this more bad, going back to talking about charts here, if you were to go overlay the rise of influencers with social media, of course, they go hand in hand with each other because you go think about who used to go influence people in the past, they would have to have some form of network in order to go get out to people. And usually those were through radio networks, TV networks, news networks. And generally those corporations for having a good kind of network would generally have to have a vested interest in doing it.
Sure.
So they're probably, you know, maybe the news, you know, it might not be like 100% down the straight and narrow, but it doesn't veer too far away.
Yeah.
Everything should still be within, you know, one deviation of where it should be. But now with Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, you love all those platforms, but they could reach millions of people. I mean, I know, okay, I don't know personally, but I've heard many stories, just regular average people, they could have a million or 2 million person following.
Yeah.
Overnight.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, think about the Chick-fil-A girl.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Sure.
I mean, you've
yeah.
seen oh, yeah. no Chick-fil-A sauce, mm-hmm. right? I dare you to try to make the face. Can you? Have you thought no, about no, that? Or mm-mm. have you done that for the kids or anything?
No. I haven't okay. yet.
All right. Dare he didn't accept the dare, folks. Sorry. but yeah, I mean, just a silly interaction can create mm-hmm. millions,
oh, yeah.
maybe tens of millions of views, and overnight someone can become an influencer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah. And, you know, it's for better and worse because people, there are a lot of good people out there who are really trying to go spread
sure.
good pieces of information. I mean, exactly what we're trying to go do with this yeah, podcast, yeah. Mm-hmm. right? But, of course, that's where people also need to go consider who they're watching, who they're vetting, and
sure.
what kind of a personal, what's the best way of saying it? What kind of a personal interest that they might have?
Sure. Yep. What's their background? Yeah. What's their expertise, mm-hmm. their education? yeah, you'd like to think that everybody's out there to do their best to help folks and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But that's not always the case, particularly maybe when you're stretched for topics or ideas and
yeah.
things to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that controversy sells, right? So mm-hmm. you're going to try to talk about things that, and you know, you can come up with different, ideas or narratives in order to mm-hmm. try to get those clicks.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, you got to be careful what you watch.
I think it also just paints some things in a little bit of a wrong of a fashion too. Like I've seen some people, would you want to go risk your money in the stock market? Okay, let's go take a step back there. That's right. A pretty brazen thing to go do because people are going to try and cause a reaction. They're really going to go try and play with yeah. that fear. And going back to what you mentioned about emotion, I mean, if you go think back to tens of thousands of years ago, for much of human existence, we didn't have technology.
Sure.
We've only had a smartphone, folks, since 2007.
Yeah.
And yep. just imagine the leaps and bounds that technology has had from 2007 to 2024.
Yeah.
Humans are still adapting to this.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can probably draw a correlation between the experiences that we have with our mm-hmm. smartphones and that yeah. access to information that's so readily available.
It's a constant loop. Yeah. Constant loop.
And just anxiety, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. I mean, we hear oh, about yeah. more and more about mental health and anxiety mm-hmm. and stress. And I can almost promise, I mean, I haven't looked at a chart, but mm-hmm. It would seem to make sense that with that access to information, anxiety and stress mm-hmm. has been rising and rising.
It's been going right up. Along. It's been going up. I yeah. can't remember what study it was. I was listening to a podcast over the mm-hmm. weekend that had Dr. Phil on it, and he referenced a very interesting study that showed when you go look at the year before smartphones were introduced versus sure. year after smartphones were introduced, many of those topics that you're mentioning rose to record levels.
Yeah.
Because people really never had that access.
Right. Yep.
To constantly seeing all these different things and
sure.
constantly having access, because imagine the past. I mean, that little iPhone or your little iPad used to be a separate TV.
Oh, yeah.
Used to be a separate computer.
Yep.
Maps, your iTunes, pretty sure. much everything rolled into one device and yeah. it's at your fingertips.
Right. Yeah. Now, even with, you know, things like TikTok and just mm-hmm. Bytes, right? Things like Instagram, what do they call the
Reels?
The Reels.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You get this access to like little bits of information, right? That like mm-hmm. almost like headlines.
Okay.
That yeah, if you yeah. don't dive a little bit deeper to understand the headline, it can misinform mm-hmm. Folks, right?
Are you a Reels guy? Are you no, probably not with that question. You're
yeah,
more TikTok.
I'm more of a okay. TikTok guy. Yeah. I
okay.
Don't,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like. I got to be honest. The short clips of information I do find interesting, mm-hmm. and it's often what leads you into diving a bit deeper.
Oh, sure.
Into someone. Yeah. It's also. Where you find, when we talk about financial influencers, some of the nonsense, right?
Oh, so much.
Like I recently saw a clip that Grant Cardone, who's like this real estate guru that mm-hmm. you see a lot
yeah,
from
yeah.
on TikTok, and he's talking about his last $1,000. And if he had a last $1,000, mm-hmm. what's he gonna do with it? And the first mm-hmm. thing he says, well, I'm gonna come up with a plan and a target, right? And I'm gonna, so the first thing I have to do is come up with the target. What's that number? Mm-hmm. So he wants to take that $1,000 10x, turn it into $10,000. So he says, well, I'm gonna go find somebody and they're gonna help me mm-hmm. turn that $1,000 into $10,000. And it's like, wow, what an amazing thought process, right? Like it's mm-hmm. that simple to just take $1,000
and the confidence. 10x.
Yeah, right.
The charisma that sure. that guy has. I mean, you could like, hey, you're interested in this because
oh yeah,
1,000 to 10,000, that shouldn't be that hard, should it?
Yeah, right. He certainly doesn't make it yeah. sound that hard.
No,
yeah.
no. And I'm sure that's a reason why people not only follow him.
Yeah.
I think guy's got like 5 million Instagram followers.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, another thing I think you see a lot about whether it's on Reels or on TikTok, is real estate investing.
Oh, so much.
There's so much about folks that are, you know, very successful in the world of real estate, but there are a lot of risks when it comes to real estate investing.
So many risks.
That they don't
to
talk about so much.
Well, I think one thing that people don't recognize as much is that if you own just a broad basket portfolio of stocks, there's a good chance that one of those stocks may lose its value by more than 5 or 10% in a given year, right?
Sure.
But with a house, those prices aren't advertised daily. I mean, you could see, I don't know how often a Zestimate changes. I have no idea from Zillow.
Sure, sure.
But your house price, you don't see it fluctuate.
Yeah.
I think if people, actually, I know if people saw your home price fluctuate like a stock, people might be interested in selling a little bit more because they don't get marked to market. I mean, it might be 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
It might be longer before a house can really go on the market. So I feel like not only that, but everyone has to have a place to live.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully everyone, if you're listening to this podcast, hopefully you have some money invested on the side, but the majority, you have to live somewhere, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Whether it's an apartment, a house, people have to go put their bed somewhere.
Yeah. And I think there is something to be said for real estate investing. I'm not saying that it's not
a good thing, of course.
Right?
Yeah.
But I don't think it's for everyone. And I think there are a lot of challenges with regards to real estate investing that folks aren't considering.
Well, just think about the leverage.
Sure. Yep.
That's associated in it too, because
particularly now.
Yeah. Now full disclosure, I have not done any real estate investing myself besides owning my own home, which I have a mortgage on. But besides that point, I can understand that people can often take down 1%, 2%, 3%. I don't know where that bare minimum falls.
Sure.
I think we might need to go phone a friend with that. But besides the point though, you can go get maybe 3 or 5% down and then leverage the rest of your money, because that's something where you really can't do with a lot of other asset classes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think for people, some useful tips for people who I like to go follow, at least within the influencing space. And so within this, you really want to make sure that you find people who have a good background.
Sure.
Right.
Yep.
And so if you want to go look further, like what you're doing with the Mint Money podcast, whether you're listening or you're watching right now, obviously having people who have some form of expertise, experience in the field is obviously good. Mm-hmm. You spend a lot of time in the industry. I spent a lot of time in the industry. And so we have a decent idea, you know, what's been going on and some different topics to go talk about. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think if it, you know, you get that recency bias, right? And there's always some type of hot topic that's out there, get rich quick kind of idea. Mm-hmm. And typically that's just not the case, right? There are fundamentals to investing, and whether that be, you know, we've talked about real estate, but there's a lot of obviously stocks, bonds, a lot of different ways you can invest. And I think, it's one of those cases where the tried and true methods typically work, and it's usually the get rich quick options are really not going to work well for you.
If it's too good to be true,
it typically is.
There's probably a good reason why everyone's not doing it.
Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep, good.
So who are some people that you like to go follow?
Sure. Yeah, so I'm going to be a little bit...
Is it from Gen X?
Yes.
Maybe some millennials run in there too?
Maybe Gen X. He might even technically be a boomer.
Okay.
But the guy that I don't listen to a lot of financial influencers. Mm-hmm. The one guy that has gotten my attention on a few different occasions is Dave Ramsey. Because we talk about like a little bit more tried and true methods. He's a little bit maybe basic, although I think for a lot of folks, there's a lot of value there, particularly, and I know we've talked about this topic on past podcasts, but when it comes to budgeting. Right, I think there's a lot of value in what he talks about with budgeting. I don't agree with everything that he talks about. He's very anti-credit card.
I think that's okay, though,
if
you don't agree with 100% what everyone's going to go talk about. I mean, we're all human, right?
Yep.
I mean, I think that we're good coworkers, we're good friends, but I'm sure if you go look down between us, like my love of soccer probably is as much as your love of soccer.
A little bit different, yep, exactly, yeah.
Didn't mean to interrupt you, though. You're mentioning something about credit cards.
Yeah, I mean, he absolutely despises credit cards. And I think when used responsibly, there's value in using a credit card for many different purposes.
Sure.
I know we've talked about that before. But I also think that if you know you're not good at managing debt or managing your credit card, then it's probably not a good idea that you have one. So that's one in particular I'm probably not in total agreement with him on. He's also a big believer in investing in just like one mutual fund, right?
Yeah.
And I know that for myself, whether it be an ETF mutual fund, but I'd want a little bit more diversity than just one fund.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
No, that makes all the sense in the world. For someone who I like to go follow, so it's a group of people. It's the people who run the Planet Money podcast.
Okay.
Through NPR. So Planet Money.
I've listened
to
them.
Yeah, I think for myself, it really opens up curiosity.
Sure.
More than anything else. And it's so related to finance, but then it touches on a lot of different topics within there that you wouldn't normally go think about too. Yeah. And so, for instance, they had an episode from, I think it was last year at some point, that talked about how there is, I can't remember the exact country, there's a country in South America that was experiencing a lot of inflation.
Okay.
Runaway bits of inflation. But they found out that there were groups and legions of people who were playing an online video game. I think it's RuneScape.
Wow.
Yeah. And they were doing something to where you could, now I could be getting the video game wrong, was an online video game, maybe World of Warcraft. I can't remember.
Okay. Yeah.
But besides the point, they were converting like in-game money that you would earn in the game for actual fiscal resources outside the game.
Wow.
And it was really cool how they went to go dive into that topic. It's like somebody curious where it's like, you know, I might not see this in my everyday day-to-day, but this is a really cool piece of information. Now, I know it's going very much off on a tangent, but following someone like this should allow yourself to grow further as a human, thinking more outside of where your comfort level, comfort box is too. Because as you can imagine, a little bit of a nerd, so I like reading, and I like reading about stuff about investing and finance and business, but it's good to kind of go out there and see, you know, what else is out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, always testing your knowledge, always willing to learn something new and try out something different. Yeah,
absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And ironically, that works our, as you guys can imagine, it works our way into our last topic today. And so we've been continuing to go see really, really good feedback about what Kevin and I like to watch. I did not know that it would be so popular and recommended, but we're going to keep on doing it. And so, Kevin, over the last week, what have you been watching?
So a show that I watched that I really liked, I don't know if you've seen it, is called BitConned. Have you seen this on Netflix?
No. Okay. Let's hear it. Let's hear about
so
it.
So it's about a group of like basically three friends. They're pretty like a kind of wild bunch of guys. The one guy in particular that they talk about, his name is Ray Trapani. Okay.
Yeah.
And he's kind of a nightclubbing, freewheeling, kind of fun guy, kind of wild. And his buddy comes to him in 2017 and says, hey, let's create a cryptocurrency and sell it to the market. Okay. And in particular, this cryptocurrency is going to have a debit card attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they create this company. They get millions of dollars invested into it, but it's all a sham. The whole thing is nonsense. And basically, this guy, this Ray, makes no apologies for it. He's been arrested. I think he spent some time in prison as a result of all of this.
Yeah. But,
and he kind of, with a smirk, says, oh, yeah, I've still got some money in the bank. And he seems to be doing extremely well still, even after spending some time in prison and getting into some trouble. But I found that that was a really interesting, it plays right into what we're talking about with this financial influencer topic and where they scammed a large number of people.
Well, people see the success that they're having. And it's a fear of missing out.
Sure.
Right? It's fear of missing out completely. I mean,
they're driving Lambos and, you know, fancy cars, nightclubbing, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Why shouldn't I do that, right?
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. I love my Ford Explorer, but why shouldn't I be driving around Lamborghini?
Yeah.
As a car in Michigan, I'm not sure that'd be a good all-year-round car, digressing from there.
Yeah.
No, it sounds really interesting. So that's on Netflix?
Yep.
Is that a movie? Is that
a series? It's a documentary.
Documentary.
But they got this Ray Trapani to participate really closely in this documentary. So it's almost a look into like the mind of a madman, of an evil madman.
Yeah, that's
And
that's
he
really
has no apologies for what he did and the people that he scammed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, it's taking me back a little bit,
Yeah,
so for my show, a little different, not about finance, but it's really letting curiosity kind of roam. It's a show called Shogun.
Okay,
yeah. It's on Hulu, produced by FX. Have you watched a couple episodes?
I haven't. I've heard about it. I've heard it's great, but I have not watched it.
It is amazing. So I think at the time of this recording, there have been about 7 or 8 episodes that have been produced so far. And so it's set in Japan in the early 1600s, there is a ship that I believe from England with some sailors who have washed up ashore, and they're basically trying to open up trade with Japan. I could be forgetting some details. It's been, been 2 months since episode one, but it's a really interesting convergence because here's this man from Europe.
Yeah.
And think about it. Now you can get from Detroit, Michigan. Now this is different. Detroit, Michigan to Tokyo in probably about a day.
Sure.
Days worth of travel time.
Yep.
He's been at sea, according to what his logs have said, for about 18 months at this point.
Wow.
18 months, lands, and he finds himself in the middle of a culture war, middle of a historical conflict between different clans that existed there in the time, a love story. And so it's all these things mixed up into one. And you could just tell, which I'm sure you could tell with shows that shows who spend a lot of time in the quality.
Oh, yeah.
the historical accuracy.
Sure.
I mean, it's hitting everything out of the park.
Yeah.
It is such an amazing show.
So is it based on some true experience?
I don't know if it's based on a true experience or not, but what I do know is that this same series was produced in 1980.
Okay.
And so it's almost like a remake of that.
Okay. Because it does sound, the title is familiar to me. Mm-hmm.
It has a lot of very well-known actors in it. It is so well done.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
It's on, what did you
say? It's on Hulu.
Okay.
Hulu.
Good.
Now, I don't know if it's also being released, because I know it's been produced with FX. And so I don't know if it's Hulu exclusive. Maybe it's on the television networks. Please, if anyone out there is listening, wants to go listen to the show, if you guys can report back, that'd be great. But
that's my recommendation. Well, to that point, though, isn't it confusing how many different streaming services you can find the same show now? It's
so confusing.
Tricky. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
well, at this point, you almost create another. We all had the cable bundle. Then we moved away from the cable bundle. And now we're almost back, but just through a streaming.
Yeah.
I know some people who have they gave up on cable.
Yeah.
They embraced streaming with open arms.
Sure.
They had 8 or 9 streaming services. And now they are, let's go kick that out. Let's go embrace cable again.
Yeah. No, I think to your point, there was I was like one of the early adopters of cable cutting, right?
Sure.
And so I had, you know, whatever. I had Amazon Prime and Netflix and kind of cut loose from cable entirely. Now I'm probably spending, I'm afraid to even look, to be perfectly honest, but I'm probably spending more than I was on cable.
Well, and it's tough too, because some are exclusive to the platform too. Like, where's a person supposed to watch, Stranger Things?
Yeah.
Only on Netflix.
Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of like gaming consoles, right? When you could only play
cross-compatibility.
Halo on Xbox, right? But
Which is your favorite streaming service?
I'm probably going to choose Netflix.
Okay.
Because I think across the board, there's a lot of good content there. I think there's great quality shows. I think HBO, when you think quality, has the best probably single shows for quality, but Netflix just for, you know, the volume of content.
Sure.
It's tough to beat.
I think Netflix for the library of content, you cannot beat it. HBO's still up there, but my surprising sleeper, it's in making a lot of really good inroads.
Yeah.
Apple.
Oh, Apple's fantastic. Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso. Right?
That alone is, yeah.
Put the pen down right
just
there.
Drop
no
it.
Further
Let's end
need.
The show. All
right. No further need to discuss, but the production quality is so high with all their shows, and I have not watched one bad show on Apple TV yet.
Yeah.
Extremely impressed, especially the cost too.
Sure.
But okay, now we're starting to go bridge into another episode topic. And so thank you everyone for listening to another great episode of Mint Money.